Happy Father's Day, everybody. It is great to be celebrating this special day with the dads who are in the room. And for those who are new to Grace, I hope you know that you are always welcome here, and we're thrilled to be celebrating with you today. As you saw in that introduction, I used to work at a gas station. And when I first started that job, I thought I was signing up for the ideal job. My buddy told me all he did was sit around and do Sudoku puzzles, waiting for the next person to come and get gas. I said, that sounds awesome. To get paid for that, I'm in. But after a few weeks of working there, the boss, who was often out fixing trucks on the road, he'd come back, this is the owner of the gas station, and say, hey, can you do this while I'm gone on my next call? Or can you refill the wiper fluid? Can you fix the sodas or refill the soda machine? Okay, sure, yeah, I got it. This was a little more work than I bargained for, but that was fine. And then he'd come back and kind of criticize my work and tell me how I could do it better. And so I almost quit this job after a month. It was a lot more work than I expected, and he was a little tougher boss than I had in mind, but I stuck around, and he continued to challenge me in the work that I would do. He continued to give me greater responsibilities. He taught me things that I didn't know how to do, like use a forklift and move railroad ties and fill propane tanks. He used to say to me, John, I want you to make every motion mean something when you're working for me. And I thought to myself, you know what? You're not paying me enough to make every motion mean something. But as time went on, I saw my perspective change towards that job. The more I learned and the more I did, the more I took pride in my work and I took ownership of his business, because I stopped seeing myself as an employee and started seeing myself as a partner. Yes, I was still getting paid the same amount, but all of a sudden I was realizing that I was impacting this business. I was making a difference on what customers experienced when they came to that gas station. And I was helping my boss do a better job when he was out in the road, because I was taking care of stuff that he couldn't. And so I don't know if you've ever experienced this transition at work, where you go from feeling like an employee to feeling like a partner, where you feel like you're just doing work and checking boxes to feeling like, man, I'm taking ownership and I want to make a difference here. But whether you've experienced that at work or not, I hope you experience that transition when it comes to being part of God's kingdom. That you don't just see yourself as an employee of God, that you don't just check the boxes of the things you're supposed to do just to get them done, but that you are eager to make an impact in God's kingdom. That you recognize that you are considered a partner in bringing his kingdom from heaven to earth. And that's a huge invitation and opportunity. When we make that transition and see ourselves that way, we find ourselves willing to step up even when it's not what we signed up for. And part of being an unexpected leader, as we've learned in this series, is being ready to step up when God taps on our shoulder. We've seen the readiness in each of the unexpected leaders in this series. Peter wasn't planning to be a key leader in the early church when he first decided to follow Jesus, but it ended up that that's what God had in mind for him. Esther didn't sign up to save the people of Israel when she was chosen to be queen, but when God called her to do just that, she said, amen. When God called these unexpected leaders to step up, they did. And today, we're going to learn from another example, the example of Stephen, another unexpected leader who stepped up to lead even when it wasn't what he signed up for. And so you can open your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. The book of Acts comes right after the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are all accounts of Jesus' life and ministry. The book of Acts is actually the continuation of Luke's Gospel, telling the story of the apostles in the early church after Jesus' resurrection from the dead and his ascension into heaven. In the first five chapters of Acts, we see the church grow from 120 to 3,000 to well over 5,000 followers of Christ in a short period of time. And as we read this passage, you can imagine the 12 apostles trying to lead and care for this huge group of disciples all gathered together in Jerusalem. And so let's read Acts 6, starting in the beginning of the chapter. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. The early church was growing, and the 12 disciples couldn't keep up with the increasing needs. The Hellenists were the Greek Jews, and they were upset because the widows were not being given their proper food. And it was probably a combination of issues here. Part of it was a racial issue that led to unequal treatment. The Hebrew widows were given food, but the Hellenist widows were not. And part of it was a leadership issue. Problems were arising, and people were feeling neglected because there were more needs than the current leaders could keep up with. And so let's keep reading to see what the apostles decide to do. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. The 12 apostles knew they were called to devote themselves to 2 things, prayer and the ministry of the word, teaching and preaching about Jesus. And so they decided to recruit the next round of servants and leaders to take over the distribution of food, to make sure the Greek widows were not being neglected. They needed to be men with good reputations who were full of the Spirit and of wisdom. But the 12 apostles weren't the ones who recruited them. Did you catch that? They told the people to identify them. They said, pick out from among you these 7 men that you think would be good for this position. The people recognized the potential in each of these 7 men and recommended them to lead. And I love this because a lot of leaders don't self-identify as leaders. It takes someone else seeing that potential in them and saying, I think you can do this. And it's interesting that all 7 have Greek names, which means they chose 7 Hellenists. They saw the value in diversifying their leadership team to best care for the people that they were serving. And what was the result of these 7 men stepping up to lead? We find out in verse 7. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. What would have happened if the 12 apostles would have tried to do it all? What would have happened if the people responded with, we don't want to pick new leaders. We want you 12 to be our leaders. Can't you try and do everything yourselves? What would have happened if the 7 men that they chose said, no thanks, that's too much. That's too scary. We're not qualified. We can't lead like the 12 apostles can. The word of God would have stopped increasing. The number of disciples would have stayed the same or decreased because the 12 apostles were spread too thin and the leadership potential of the church was not unleashed. The 12 apostles had to humbly admit that they couldn't do it all. And the people had to embrace change and trust new leaders. And these 7 guys had to courageously step up into their calling to lead. Stephen was one of the 7 chosen. And when Stephen became a Christian, he probably never expected to be a leader. He was just another disciple among the thousands of others. But when someone recognized his potential and encouraged him to go for it, he stepped up to lead and let God use him so the church could continue to grow and thrive. He was ready to step up even though it wasn't what he signed up for. And that's our big idea today. I want us to learn from Stephen. We can be ready to step up even when it's not what we signed up for. And so as we read about Stephen, we're going to see something that is true for many of us. His first calling isn't his final calling. This wasn't his last opportunity to step up. And his example is going to teach us to prepare for an unexpected calling when it comes our way. Stephen's life will challenge each of us to be ready to step up when our time comes, even when it's not what we signed up for. And so let's learn 4 ways that we can prepare for an unexpected calling. The first way comes from the description of Stephen in verse 5. Stephen was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. This is the first way we can prepare for an unexpected calling. Be filled with the Holy Spirit like Stephen was. What does that mean, to be filled with the Holy Spirit? The Bible tells us that everyone who trusts in Jesus as their Lord and Savior is sealed with the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in every Christ follower. But there's a difference between having the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. In his letter to the Christians in Ephesus, the Apostle Paul writes, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." Now let's be clear, Paul is not saying do not drink alcohol. He is saying do not get drunk. He's saying don't fill yourself with alcohol and let alcohol control you. Instead, fill yourself with the Holy Spirit and let the Spirit control you. To be filled with means to be controlled by. We use the expression under the influence of alcohol. And so Paul's saying, instead of being under the influence of alcohol, let the Holy Spirit be the driving influence of your life. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we let the Holy Spirit lead us and change us. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we see the fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit in our lives. We will see greater faith and less fear. We'll see greater love and less selfishness, greater peace and less despair, greater passion and less apathy. We live with greater power to do God's work and impact others for Christ. Stephen was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the driving influence of his life. And we learn from him that fruitful ministry begins when we let the Holy Spirit drive. Fruitful ministry begins when we let the Holy Spirit drive. The 12 apostles knew this. They knew that they could do nothing without the Holy Spirit. They couldn't do miracles. They couldn't speak with boldness. They couldn't bring people to Christ. There would be no church to lead and no power to lead it without the Holy Spirit. And so when they were recruiting the next round of leaders, they didn't start by looking for people who were super organized or great communicators or really hard workers. They looked for men who were filled with the Spirit, men who were already letting the Holy Spirit drive, because that is the starting point of fruitful ministry. And so I ask you, what are the driving influences of your life right now? Are you under the influence of consumerism, driven by a desire for nice things and a comfortable life? Are you under the influence of worry, controlled by fearful thoughts about the future? Are you under the influence of loneliness, desperate to be loved by someone and letting that void consume you? Or are you under the influence of the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit transform you and work through you, eagerly following wherever he leads you and trusting him to use you beyond your natural abilities? Are you letting the Holy Spirit drive? Being filled with the Holy Spirit is the first step in preparing for an unexpected calling. And as we see, and we will see in Stephen's life, being full of the Holy Spirit is what enabled him to be used by God in powerful and surprising ways. And so let's pick back up in verse 8. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of those of Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. So we're not sure how much time has passed since Stephen was chosen as one of those seven leaders to oversee the food distribution, but we assume that he's been faithfully serving in that role. And now we find out that he's doing miracles among the people, wonders and signs like Jesus did, and like Peter and John and the other apostles were doing. This rookie leader is being used by God in an even bigger way. And apparently his miracles catch the attention of some of the Jews, and they start to argue with him because they know he believes in Jesus. And they are among the majority of Jews in Jerusalem who thinks that Jesus is a false prophet, a heretic, a fake Messiah. But they picked the wrong guy to argue with. We're told in verse 10 that they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen was speaking. So here we learn from Stephen another way to prepare for an unexpected calling. Be ready to serve beyond your current assignment. Stephen signed up to make sure all the widows were fed, right? Not to do miracles and get in heated debates. This isn't what the apostles asked Stephen to do. They didn't say, hey, we're looking for a few guys to do miracles like we do and to talk to angry people and tell them why Jesus really is the Savior of the world. Any takers? That wasn't the job description. But when God opened the door, Stephen was ready to serve beyond his current assignment. And the reason he was able to do that goes back to our first point. It's because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helped him effectively lead the distribution of food in the same way that the Holy Spirit gave him the power to perform miracles and the wisdom to speak against these men who confronted him. And the story is just getting started, so let's keep reading. Verse 11. Then they, the men who were disputing with Stephen, secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. And they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. And the high priest said, "Are these things so?" Because the men could not win the argument, they stir up trouble and false accusations against Stephen. And so now Stephen finds himself standing before the highest Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, having to answer for these false allegations. This is the group of leaders who have beaten and imprisoned the apostles. These are the leaders who had Jesus crucified. This had to be a terrifying moment for Stephen. And then the high priest looks him in the eye and questions him, "Are these things so? Are these things that they're saying true?" I mean, this is a yes or no question. Stephen could have simply said, "No, sir. I'm sorry for the misunderstanding. I did not mean any disrespect towards you or the other leaders. I'll be going back to serving widows now. Oh, and here's the address of Peter and John, my bosses. Feel free to take this up with them. They're really good at this kind of stuff. Not really my specialty. Sorry for the trouble." He could have backed down, but he didn't. Stephen responds to the high priest with these words, "Brothers and fathers, hear me." He's essentially saying, "My fellow Jews, listen up. There's something you need to hear." And he goes on to tell the story of God throughout the Bible and how it all points to Jesus, the Messiah who has come to save the world. Stephen saw an opportunity to proclaim the good news of Jesus, and he took it. This had to be outside his comfort zone. This was something he probably saw the 12 disciples do, confronting the Jewish leaders with the truth about Jesus. But this wasn't what he signed up for. He was supposed to be behind the scenes. He was supposed to be feeding widows. He had a million reasons to back down, but instead he stepped up. God opened the door and he preached his heart out, probably his first sermon ever, and it was a powerful, spirit-filled message. Stephen was ready to serve beyond his current assignment. And I love watching people do this here at Grace, people who are met with an unexpected calling from God and they step up to serve beyond their current assignment. I think about Frank Winkelbauer. He and I had a conversation last summer about him leading the parking team. And he said, "John, I really don't see myself as a leader." Fast forward to almost a year later, he has led that parking team incredibly well this year. So that there are volunteers there every service, every Sunday, helping guests find parking spots and making everybody feel welcome as soon as they pull in. I think about TJ and Emily stepping up to lead their life group, even though they had never experienced leading a group before. They're busy, they have young kids, they have a lot going on with work, and yet they care about this group of people and they're encouraging them in their faith. It's awesome to see. I think about Paul Ebert at Grace Girard, one of the Grace Kids volunteers there. And at one point he was approached to lead that ministry. Man, that would mean more time on Sunday morning, that'd be more time during the week. He's a parent, and he has a lot happening, and yet when that opportunity came, he believed God was calling him to step up, to serve beyond his current assignment. And his leadership and influence there has left its mark on Grace Girard in a big way. I also think about Pastor Brian, one of my heroes when it comes to serving beyond your current assignment. When I got to Grace 11 years ago, Pastor Brian was the pastor of Creative Arts. He was the face of worship, and he was is an incredible worship leader. He was the central worship leader when we launched Grace Harbor Creek, influencing worship at all locations. And then when Grace Girard launched, he was willing to go there for 6 months and help get worship started strong at that site. Then he was asked to consider stepping into the role as site pastor at Grace McCain. That's a big responsibility. And yet he felt like God was leading him to take that step, and he did. He's been an incredible site pastor, and he deeply loves the people of Grace McCain. And now God's calling him to another adventure. God is calling him to step up and lead our church when it comes to missions, to mobilize us to reach the ends of the earth with the gospel, to partner with our global partners in a stronger and more effective way. But listen, it would be so easy for Pastor Brian to say, "Hey, you know what? I'm just going to stick with what I'm used to. I'm just going to stick with worship, or I'm just going to stick with being a site pastor." And here he is saying, "God, I think you're leading me to something new, an unexpected calling, but I trust you, and I believe that you can use me to further your kingdom." And I'm thankful for Pastor Brian, for his faith and his example when it comes to serving beyond his current assignment. What about you? Are you ready to step into an unexpected calling from God? Are you ready to serve beyond whatever your current assignment is right now? I don't know what that's gonna look like for you. Maybe God's gonna call you to change positions at work or even change careers. God might call you to relocate to serve a different group of people. God might call you to a different role in ministry, that even if it's the current ministry you're in, just stepping up within that ministry. I thought I was going to be a school teacher for my entire career, but God had other plans, better plans. And so I encourage you, be ready for God to change your plans. In order to prepare for an unexpected calling, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we must be ready to serve beyond our current assignment. Our final lesson from Stephen is to be ready to sacrifice. We're not going to read all of Stephen's sermon in Acts 7 today. I'd encourage you to go back this week and read it. But we're going to fast forward to the conclusion of his message, picking up in chapter 7. "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one," meaning Jesus, "whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Man, Stephen knew it was risky to speak up about Jesus. He knew he was risking his reputation. He knew he was risking rejection from his fellow Jews who thought Jesus was a false prophet. He knew he was risking being beaten and imprisoned like the other disciples had been. But he willingly put himself in harm's way to be a witness for his Lord and Savior, to stand up for Jesus to people who had killed him and were rejecting him. And so now listen to how these Jewish leaders responded to his message. "Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Wow. Had Stephen thought about this before that day? Had he had already asked himself, "Am I willing to die for this?" We can't know for sure, but we know how he responded when he was given the opportunity to risk it all for Christ. He could have backed down, but instead he boldly stood up for his Lord and Savior. And as the hostility of the Jewish leaders increases, you see in Stephen greater faith, not greater fear. Verse 55 says that he was full of the Holy Spirit, just like he was before his first assignment to care for the widows, just like he was when he was performing miracles. He was ready to sacrifice everything for Christ. Luke, the author of both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, is intentional to show us the parallels between Stephen and Jesus in their death. They both had false witnesses brought against them. They both are killed at the hand of Jewish leaders who accused them of blasphemy. They both pray for God to forgive the people who are killing them. They commit their spirit to God in their final moment. Stephen's sacrifice points to Jesus. Jesus' sacrifice was the motivation for Stephen's sacrifice. He followed a Savior worth dying for. Jesus was Stephen's example of sacrificial love and obedience. And Jesus revealing himself to Stephen in his final moments gave Stephen the strength and encouragement to fulfill his calling as the first Christian martyr. Stephen shows us that our sacrifice for Christ points to the sacrifice of Christ. Our sacrifice for Christ points to the sacrifice of Christ. When you sacrifice for Jesus, you will be reminded of his sacrifice for you. And it will be a testimony to those watching, those who are witnessing your sacrifice, about the Savior that you follow. Stephen's example shows us that we won't always see the full impact of our sacrifice. Acts 8:1 says this, "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles." Stephen's death led to the spread of the church beyond Jerusalem, to Judea and Samaria, and eventually to the ends of the earth. God used Stephen's death to fulfill his command to the disciples in Acts 1:8. And so I ask you, are you ready to sacrifice for Christ like Stephen did, trusting him to use your sacrifice beyond what you can even see? Now, most of us have never had to face physical persecution for Jesus, but he will always call us to sacrifice something when we follow him. Sometimes it's sacrificing time. Time away from family, time away from work, time to serve in ministry, time to love others. Maybe it's monetary resources that you put towards his kingdom or to help those in need. Maybe it's a sacrifice of your reputation when you stand up for him at work or with your friends. But you're going to be called to sacrifice if you want to be an influence for Jesus. And so I ask you, are we ready to sacrifice like Stephen did? What an example. What an example of an unexpected leader who teaches us how to prepare for an unexpected calling. And when God shows up with that calling, we're ready to say yes with an eager heart. Now, as we wrap up today, I want to challenge us to take two steps that I think everyone can take. The first one is this: shadow a leader. Find a leader in a ministry that you think God might be calling you to and go see what it looks like to serve in that way. This is such a helpful way to find your calling. Now listen, we believe that God's going to double our attendance at Grace over the next 3 years. And when that happens, we're going to need a lot of people stepping up to lead others, to help them grow in their faith. We're going to need life group leaders at every age, leading our kids, leading our youth, leading adults. We're going to need people leading ministries, leading volunteers. We're going to need people leading in our city, in our world. And so I hope that you can find someone in a ministry that resonates with your passion, that aligns with your gifts. Go look into it. Shadow that leader and see if God doesn't start to point you in that direction. It might not be the first ministry that you shadow, but keep asking God that big question. Lord, what are you asking me to do? Where are you asking me to serve? What is that calling that's for me? The second thing I want to encourage you to do is this: tell someone the potential that you see in them. We often need someone else to recognize and point out our God-given potential. Someone said to Stephen, "I see your strong faith, Stephen. I see the Holy Spirit at work in your life. I think you should be one of the seven leaders that make sure the widows get fed." If it wasn't for that person saying that encouragement to Stephen, we miss out on this huge impact and legacy that his life leaves behind. And so if you're a life group leader in the room today, would you speak that into someone in your group? Would you give them a chance to take on leadership within your group so that someday they could lead a group of their own? If you're a ministry leader, would you give someone in your ministry that encouragement and let them know that potential you see in them so that they can start to see themselves through God's eyes, the gifts and the potential that God's put in them? I'm so grateful for the people in my life who've done this for me. I think of my mom and my dad. My mom worked in ministry, and she gave me opportunities to work with the elementary students when I was in middle school. She believed that I had leadership potential, even as a middle schooler. And my dad, he saw that I had an ability to speak publicly. And so he'd work with me and coach me and encourage me, whether it was a play or a speech or working on a paper. Even my sermons, he gives me the great feedback and helps me get better. He always believes in me and helps me realize that, man, maybe God can use me in bigger ways than I think. There's been people throughout my life who've said, "God, John, I see this potential in you. Be open to God using you in this way or that way." Being at Grace Church, there's been some really key people who've spoken that into my life. I think of Aaron Lundberg as someone who was the first person to say, "Hey, I want you to lead a group of volunteers here on the guest experience team." I think of Pastor Mike Watson, who trusted me to service host at Grace Harbor Creek, to be part of the launch team, and to ultimately trust me in leading the Harbor Creek congregation. I think of Pastor Derek and Pastor Brian, who gave me a shot at preaching even when I was still teaching math. People in life groups I've been part of who've encouraged me in my gifts and affirm God's calling in my life into ministry. And probably the most significant influence when it comes to my ministry potential has been a man named Jim Scarpitti. Here's a guy who very early on saw potential in me, took time out of his busy life to meet with me, to encourage me in all aspects of my life, and to speak encouragement about my potential in ministry. He was one of the first people to say to me, "Hey, have you ever thought that God might be calling you into full-time ministry? Have you ever thought about the fact that God might want to use you to be a pastor?" And before I could even consider it or entertain the idea, here was someone who could speak that into me. I will be forever grateful that Jim has always seen my potential, even when I can't. I hope we are always a church who sees potential in others and challenges them to use it for the kingdom. I hope we're always a church who's driven by the Holy Spirit and ready for unexpected callings. I hope we're ready to sacrifice for Christ and to serve beyond our current assignment. Because God's plan to build his kingdom in this world will always require unexpected leaders stepping up to lead. Grace Church, may we be eager and ready for his kingdom to come in us and through us in this world. For his glory. Amen.